Sports Catch March 9, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest in sports news. The A-Sun Championship, a conference where Liberty University men's basketball plays, have won it 2 years in a row and have beaten the same team, Lipscomb. And join us to talk to us a little bit about Liberty basketball. We got Ryan Krista on the line. Welcome back to the Sportscast. Back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, San Diego, it's awesome as a fellow Liberty alumni like you. It's good to be back in the dance and having our basketball team represent our university quite well. It was an awesome thing yesterday in the Bryan Center. Raucous environment. ESPN and the rest of the world got to see the best of Liberty.
Is Ryan still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Yes. You went off the air. Finish that one last thought you were just saying.
It was nice for the world to get to see on national TV. The basketball team playing well and the university well represented, and it was just a good environment, a great day for Liberty and just the basketball team, but just Liberty University in general.
Elijah Cuffey and Caleb Holmesley each dropped a team high of 16 points. This is the Flames, who won their first NCAA tournament game in school history in 2019. What did this team say to you for this year?
Well, it's interesting. So last year, totally different scenario. Lipscomb, 2 years ago won the conference before Liberty was in the Atlantic time. They beat Florida Gulf Coast. So they came into the league last year kind of top dogs. They returned most of their whole team last year, and kind of the consensus that they were going to win the conference, and they had a great year. And then Liberty comes in, as a second place team, and goes and steals the show last year in the championship game. They probably Nashville, Liberty, probably only wins a couple of those games. Liberty played well. Kind of the same focus of that this year, defensive oriented, and this made a lot of key shots last year. So they bring back, they win that game, they go out, and then, they go they beat Mississippi State in a tournament, and this year they bring back, 85% of their scoring. There's a lot of pressure on this team. They started 14-0 before they end up losing right after Christmas to LSU. They won two tournaments this year before the Atlantic Sun. They won a tournament in the Bahamas and then in D.C. This team, they can get a little rough offensively. They do remind a lot of people of Liberty, as Coach McCary spent 6 years there studying under Tony Bennett. Between Liberty, Liberty stops. They're second in the country in defense at 52 points a game behind, of course, the aforementioned Virginia Cavaliers. But the team makes timely baskets, but, the first two games of the tournament, they only scored 22 points in the first half to those games. What the difference, I think, was nice. Yesterday, they got on to score 45, up by 19 points at halftime. It was very, very nice because this team doesn't give a lot of points. So a 19-point lead for Liberty is still like about 30 points for most teams.
Like Ryan was saying, Liberty won the first half. It was 45-26, leading by 19 points. And then the other half, Lipscomb Bisons had more points, but it wasn't enough to overcome Liberty's lead from the first half.
They made a little bit of run to start the second half. I think they got within 12 points. And bam, Liberty goes up, in the next couple of minutes. And it goes up with 23 points with 8 minutes left. And they kind of just cruise to the finish line. Lipscomb got some garbage time points there. So I don't think it was even as close as the score you see, you know, I think it ended up being 16 points, 73-57, but, you know, there was never a doubt. Never a doubt in that game.
Elijah Cuffee had 16 points. Caleb Holmesley had 60 points. Who are the key players, Ryan, when they go into March Madness?
Sure. Well, you know, I talked about this being a veteran team. You know, they really only play six players. So, you know, they had the five, five starters, and then they bring Mayo Baxtel-Bell, which is more or less like he should be an offensive lineman for the football team. You know, it was about 6 foot six, you know. I was probably pushing, 250, 260. We talked about Caleb Holmesley at 16 points, and he's the leading scorer of the team at 15 points a game and the Atlantic Sun Player of the Year. He's kind of the jack of all trades guy. He can score, rebound, assist. The whole offense kind of goes through him. They got shooters around him. Like, Cuffee had a great game, 16 points, which is a season high. He doesn't always consistently, hit him with the shot, that he can make open shots. He's more resistant, a great defender, out to Liberty Christian Academy kid, so he's a local kid, kind of heart and soul. The best shooter, the shooters on the team, Darius McGee, who's a sophomore from North Carolina, and then also Giorgio Pacheco Ortiz kind of runs the show as a point guard. Another kind of the guy who definitely doesn't, score a lot of points, but there's no one else trying to take a shot at the end of the game. He hit the key shot last year against Lipscomb, and, he's always got the ball in his hand in the fourth quarter because he's money at the free throw line. Just a great, great, player. And, the forwards of the team, I think the best, the most crucial player of the team is Guy James, the double-double machine, 13 points, 10 rebounds a game. He's not flashy, he's not pretty. He's just kind of a blue-collar, outworking kind of guy down low.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Lipscomb, once again, reached to the championship final. What do you know about them? I mean, what do they say to you so far?
Could you repeat that question, Sandy? I missed the beginning.
What are your thoughts about Lipscomb? Obviously, Lipscomb has reached the final 2 years in a row, but what do you say about them?
I think this is a phenomenal job. Their coach, Casey Alexander, left Lipscomb to go literally across the street to a basketball powerhouse, Belmont University, where he graduated and played, several years, replacing the legendary coach, Rick Bird, there. So, and they also... they graduated, I think they said on a broadcast 8,500 points from last year, which is a crazy amount. So they bring back, really just two players, Freeman and Abdul Azul, who, almost 30 points a game in that tournament. The future is bright. They brought in the coach Lonnie Acuff from Alabama Huntsville Division II program. And he did a great job. This team was in seventh place in the conference, halfway through the conference play, and they won eight out of their last nine games. Just a really solid basketball team. They play hard. They definitely overachieved this year, with Abdul Azul only being a sophomore. The future looks bright for this program.
Something to definitely look at. And, of course, the ASUN Championship is a new conference for Liberty University, and they've dominated 2 years in a row. I mean, is this something that Liberty could go to a different conference in the future, or do you think they have a long relationship with the ASUN?
I think it is a long relationship. Our bread and butter at Liberty is going to be football right now, which is okay because, ASUN doesn't have a football conference, so it works out well, It's a good basketball league. It's better than the Big South. We talked about that last week. And they got good baseball, which is kind of our other big sport, men's sport. Solid softball and women's basketball. So we fit it very nicely there. It's geographically good. We're not making any crazy long trips. The only other really team that really kind of just doesn't really fit in is, New Jersey Institute of Technology. We got all these teams in the South and they're way up north, but everybody's going to have to deal with that. But everything else is kind of geographically sound for the Liberty, and then kind of go into a lot of their major, you know, you want to play in your conference in areas where you're going to want to recruit well. And that's in all our sports. We want to recruit the Florida, you know, and the Georgia area. Basketball-wise, you know, if, and I'm going to say that, you know, the team that Liberty played in the semis, Stetson University, which is, I believe, outside of Orlando, they had, you know, they had three really good freshmen playing for them this year. And they gave Liberty everything they wanted to in the semis and also beat them earlier this year. So I think, you know, they're led by, you know, Donnie Jones, who coached at a couple different major universities. And I believe last stop was at South Florida. So he's a very good coach. And that program's going to challenge his conference. And also, I know that this team was absolutely atrocious this year. And that's Kennesaw State, who didn't win a conference game, only won one regular season game all year. And they're led by former NBA player Abdul Rahim. Does that name sound familiar? Santiago, you know, played on many years for the Sacramento Kings. He's actually got a really, really good recruiting class coming in. And Liberty's got a great recruiting class, but this is, you know, one of the best in mid-major, you know, probably the last in some history. So they're going to really push their limits for the next couple of years, too.
Looking at the other conference tournament schedules, the ACC has their tournament from March 10th to the 14th. That begins very soon. Big East starts on March 11th, ends on March 14th. The Big Ten is March 11th through the 15th. Big 12, March 11th through to the 14th. So a whole lot of these conferences, they're just going to start this week. We'll go through each conference and see what are your thoughts, who might be the winner or top two. Let's start with the ACC, Ryan. Who do you think will finish that? I mean, do you have to win these conference championships to have a good seeding, or, like, what's the rules here?
It's usually they go by seed. You know, whoever wins the conference regular season will get the number one seed. And, you know, depending, you know, how many teams in a conference, you know, some do double box. And the ACC, you know, first time, you know, in a very long time, I think it might be the first time since I've been in the ACC, the Florida State Seminoles won a regular season title. So they'll be the number one seed. You know, they play really good sound basketball. You know, the typical winners in the team. You know, they defend. They're really long and lanky. They don't have a great offensive player, but, you know, they just get the job done. You know, it doesn't mean they don't score. It's for all their points of transition off of steals and turnovers. They're going to be a good, you know, choice, but then you got to go with the top dog. And that's, you know, they got the NBA players on the team. They got ACC player of the year, Trey Jones. And Vernon Carey, who should be a lottery pick. That's kind of, you know, you got the team who had the best regular season in Florida State, and then I think the team with the most talent in Duke.
Something to definitely look at. ACC begins in March 10th through 14th. I believe all the that tournament will be playing Greensboro, North Carolina. The Big East will be playing in New York March 11th through 14th. Who are your top picks there?
I kind of like the Crane Blue Jays, Santiago.
Why?
This team, you know, typically, you know, Crane is, under Greg McDermott, is, you know, very offensive focused. And this team is, they shoot the ball well, you know, they space the floor. Alexander is a great player. But this team, you know, I mean, they, what's different from this team than other Crane teams, this team can get stops, a lot of stops. You know, they're better defensive than most of Creighton teams I've seen in the past. And also, you know, it's hard to go against Villanova. You know, Jay Wright is the best coach in the conference. You know, is this his best team? No, but they got players around and they got players that fit his system. I don't, you know, the team, I think, you know, it's not always the greatest thing ever to win your conference tournament. Or sometimes because you just exhaust yourself playing, you know, three games in 3 days or something. But, you know, when you're probably not a contender to win your own or win the NCAA tournament, you kind of got to go for your conference tournament. I think that's what you're going to see in the Big East. I don't know if you're seeing any NCAA tournament champions out of this, but you're going to see a very highly competitive old-school Big East tournament down in Madison Square Garden.
something to definitely look at. You know, it's funny because I was doing some research this morning about you know, what college conference, which college basketball conferences to cover, and you were right. There's definitely more than the Power Five. There's like there's probably at least 10 of them. They're good good out there.
Yeah, you know, consider, you know, the Big East, I mean, Texas is getting out better than most of the Power Five conferences. Especially look at the Pac-12. I don't think that's a very good conference. But
which Oregon wants to lead the Pac-12?
Yeah, well, because there's not a lot of money in a team. It's kind of trickling down, you know. I think if your football teams aren't making money, your basketball teams and your other teams aren't going to get the resources that they need to survive. But that's for another day. But Big East is definitely great because these are basketball-focused schools. You know, there's no football teams in any of these schools, really. So you got teams, you know, who live and die, you know, November through March. And then you got to go look at, you know, another conference is having their conference tournament this next 2 days in Las Vegas, and that's the West Coast Conference. You got Gonzaga, who's definitely going to be one seed. And then you got St. Mary's, who's locked their spot up. And there's probably no higher team in the country right now than the BYU Cougars. And that, you know,
yeah,
you know, so I think that's almost a better basketball conference right now than is the Pac-12.
Yeah. To keep in mind, guys, we have announced that Ryan Krista will be covering the Big East, the West Coast Conference, and potentially the Big Ten. He hasn't made his final decision, but I hope he takes it. But yeah, Ryan Krista will be covering the West Coast Conference, Big East, and potentially the Big Ten. We'll have Justin Riley covering the SEC. Kyloo Borden will be covering ACC and the Big 12. And we're definitely going to fill in the spots for the Pac-12, Atlantic 10, and Mountain West Conference. Those announcements will happen later this week. So, Ryan.
Diego, we already have a Mountain West Conference champion, and that's the Utah State Aggies. That was this weekend.
Why? For the Mountain West Conference. How was that tournament?
Yeah, big upset. You know, not big upset. Utah State. I kind of took some relief off of them next weekend, you know, a team that was on the bubble, you know, and they said, let's not worry about that. Let's go win our conference tournament. What the big implication of that, though, is that is that going to knock San Diego State off the one line and send them to the two seed somewhere else?
Interesting. Now, like with all this seeding, it all comes down to the committee members, right?
Yeah. They got, you know, guidelines, you know. So they follow and they use certain metrics to, you know, and there's bracketing rules, like there's only so many teams you can play in your conference, and you can't, and each, you know, well, you can't play teams in your conference before a Sweet 16. So there's reasons why teams get placed in places, you know, but so they use all that to kind of put the bracket together, which we'll see very shortly here next Sunday night.
Where do you think Liberty, what seat number do you think they'll land in? In their respective regions, obviously.
I have no idea what region they're going to be. You know, that's, you see all these bracketologists now. They always pick, you know, what city they're going to play in. And you're kind of just taking guesses, you know. They're just, I mean, no one really knows for sure. Those bracketologists are good at just like, who are the 6-8 teams going to be in the tournament? I just don't, you know, I think they take some liberty, no pun intended, in picking where people play. But I think, you know, Liberty is probably looking anywhere from a 13 to 11 seed.
Okay, that's not bad. That's because there's a total of 16 per region, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there definitely won't be any lower than a 13. I don't see any higher than 11. So, and that thing, I think there'll probably be a 12 seed.
That's not bad. That's not totally last place, but it's not in the middle either. But they're in the second half, but not last place.
You know, actually, no. 12 seed is what they were last year when they beat Mississippi State. So it's a good spot. Typically, that's where you're going to see a lot of your overachieving mid-majors who didn't just win their conference but have the overall good year. And that's usually 5 seed a lot of times where you're going to see, you know, a team like Auburn who started off so hot, or Colorado who, you know, a couple weeks ago could have been a 2 or 3 seed, you know, who's slumping going into their conference tournament. to end up coming to a 5 seed. So you, that's kind of where you want to be, you know. That's kind of, those are always the upsets you, people typically pick in the NCAA tournament.
Definitely going to follow us in the next. This week is conference tournament week, right? What they call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you know, championship week. Yeah.
Championship week. So, like Ryan says, you don't really have to win these tournaments if you're like Creighton, but it is a cherry on top if they do.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times you see teams expend so much energy, that, you know, because you're playing 3 games in 3 days.
That's a lot of matchups.
You probably play no more than 2 games a week, and now all of a sudden you're playing, you know, back-to-back-to-back days. Or sometimes, you know, you might play 4 games in 4 days if you get really high. You go end up winning a tournament and have no energy left for the NCAA tournament. So you'll see teams, you know, they'll try to win the conference tournament, but, you know, you're not going to see them.
100% full press.
Yeah.
Here are the final rankings of the regular season. Number one in Kansas, 2 Gonzaga, 3 University of Dayton, Florida State, University of Baylor, San Diego State, Creighton, Kentucky, Michigan State, and Duke. Duke at 10th, kind of odd, but what do you think about those top 10 teams right there?
It's funny, so you're going to see 2 out of your 4 teams that we talked about, you know, the non-Power 5, you're going to see Gonzaga be a number one seed, you're going to see Dayton as number one seed. And you could potentially see, you know, even Creighton sneak into that number one seed. I doubt it, but right now they're kind of solidly locked as a 2 seed. And so, yeah, you probably have 2 out of your 4 one seeds being non-Power 5 and 2 out of your 4 two seeds being non-Power 5 schools. So that's kind of, you know, how the landscape of basketball works, you know.
But will there be new rankings after the tournaments?
Yeah, like, so there won't be any rankings really until they might do it. I don't even know why you would have rankings during the middle of the NCAA tournament, but you'll have a final ranking. You know, they'll come out the day after the championship Monday.
Okay, sounds good. Let's move on to the NFL in your neck of the woods. Josh Norman has signed with the Bills, 1 year, $6 million contract after he exited with the Redskins. Ryan, what's your thought over that move?
A player that, you know, Coach Sean McDermott's very familiar with when he had his time in, when they were both with the Carolina Panthers. You know, the Bills are just trying to fill in pieces. You know, Josh Norman's, you know, kind of a wild card. When he's good, he's good. And when he's bad, he's a bad distraction. you know, he's probably on a short leash. You know, if he doesn't come in shape, you know, or really up to par in training camp, you probably expect him not to make the team. So, if he's going to be a contributor, he's going to be on the team. If he's not going to be a full contributor, don't expect him to make the team.
Wow. So there's a chance for that. He will not be making the team. Josh Norman is a very popular player, but obviously off the field, he definitely could be a nuisance.
It's not even off the field. He's just, you know, he's just kind of guy who is in the media with the, you know, his statements. He doesn't get in trouble with the law. I don't think he's ever been in jail. It's just kind of annoying stuff. Kind of Odell Beckham, I said, the defense.
Definitely, we'll be definitely following this. Of course, free agency begins on the 16th or 18th, somewhere in that range. We've been hearing Tom
Brady. Yeah, you know, San Diego, it's very funny they put the date there. It's kind of, I think the NFL always likes to steal other people's spotlights. You know, that's the start of the NCAA tournament. You know, the biggest weekend in the NCAA tournament is the first weekend, you know, where everybody's playing, you know. So I feel like the NFL is just trying to steal a little bit of a spotlight there.
Some thunder.
Yeah, that's what they love to do best, the NFL.
Another important game that happened yesterday, the Lakers defeating the Clippers 112-103. Some may say these are the two best teams in the NBA, and some will say that the Clippers are the best team in the NBA. What were your thoughts about this matchup?
When both teams are healthy, I think the Lakers are the best team. But this new NBA of where players sit so much and they, you know, they don't play, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, right now, you know, who's the best. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of pour, you know, come closing. I do think they're 1 and 2 is definitely in the Western Conference. when the Clippers, you know, when Kawhi and Paul George are at their best, both they can defend quite well. But those two bigs for the Lakers, LeBron and Davis, you know, they're just too tough to stop.
One of the top two, the two top players in the NBA.
I just think the Lakers are supremely, you know, put together. You know, those, you know, James and Davis, you know, and then you got, you know, the bigs and Howard and McGee. So it's and then with shooting on the outside, you know, it's just a really good constructed team. You know, nothing against the Clippers, because they're very good. They'll be a heck of a, you know, series if they ever play against each other.
We'll see what happens. The playoffs begin until April next month, so we'll see where the final seedings are. It looks like the Clippers and the Nuggets are kind of fighting for that number two spot. But it'd be interesting, a Western Conference final in L.A., all L.A., but some people would say that it would be a home court advantage to the Lakers no matter what. So we'll definitely keep an eye on the NBA. Ready for that random question of the day?
Let's do it.
What is the best time of day to take a nap, morning, afternoon, or evening?
I'd probably say in the afternoon. Sometimes I like to close my eyes a little bit out, you know, after lunch, you know, especially if I have too many carbs. But so I'm going to say the afternoon.
84.2% of the SportsCast followers picked afternoon. Second place came in morning at 10.5%, and evening came into 5.3%.
Sounds about right.
And National Napping Day. So definitely after changing your times yesterday, I think it's a good time to take a nap. Well, hopefully if your job lets you, if you work in certain workplaces. Will we see a March Madness with no crowds because of the coronavirus, Ryan?
Jeez, Santiago. We could go on a whole fourth cast about the future. A lot of sporting events because of the coronavirus. I think we'll probably see them next week or so. You know, obviously they'll probably make a decision by Selection Sunday if they're going to have crowds or not at these games. So I guess it's a big week to see, you know, the development of this virus.
I have not seen a sports game without fans except in Europe. I've seen it happen, but it's not the same.
Definitely not the same.
Because the fans definitely bring that 12th man or that 7th man or 6th man advantage, whatever you call it. And we'll definitely help out in how things turn around in sports games. Ryan, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about some basketball in Davidson College?
Mad Dog 18, Twitter. So it's probably the best. Or the SportsCast.
Isn't it your Twitter name Mad Dog Report?
Yeah, Mad Dog Report 18. I'm sorry.
Wait, is it with no number? It's just Mad Dog Report.
Yeah, right. That's a Mad Dog. I think I was looking at my email, but yeah.
How was your high school basketball? Your final, you know.
We did. We lost in the quarterfinals, but yeah, we had a very young team, so the future is looking bright for Lima Christian basketball. So
there you have it. And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be definitely diving into college basketball in the next couple of weeks. Conference titles. We have Justin covering the SEC. We got Kailu covering the Big 12 and the ACC. And we have Ryan Krista covering the Big East and the West Coast Conference, potentially Big 10. He hasn't made the final decision, but some good teams like Illinois, Iowa, Maryland. And we'll also be covering the Atlantic 10 and the Mountain West Conference as well, because in college basketball, these other conferences have some say to say. But anyways, another sports cast in the books. Ryan, basketball is looming large right now.
Yes, it is. Enjoy the madness, everybody.